Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from Warren, Ohio. I'm going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia on Block Talk Radio. And what news I got for you is no other news other than the good news of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. This is the weekend, and this is the week of when they took Jesus through Jerusalem and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And a few days later, they wanted to crucify him. Oh, what a day that was. Amen. They found out, amen, they had the right Messiah, but Jesus didn't tell them, amen, anything about the millennium that was going to come up on the earth. And the Jews was disappointed on how he went into the temples and overchanged the money changers and turned tables and whipped people out the temple. Well, they said, well, we got the wrong Messiah because, see, they thought, amen, this Messiah was supposed to come and set up the millennial kingdom. Amen. And the Jews were ruled during the millennial kingdom, but they had the right Jesus, but by Christ not doing what he had already in plan to do, the Jews got upset and the Gentiles went along with them. Amen. So if anybody say who crucified Jesus Christ, a lot of people say they want to blame it on the Jews. I know Jews is God's chosen people, and Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many received him, he gave them power to be sons, become the sons of God. But the Gentiles are as guilty as they are. We crucified Christ. We killed Christ. I'm guilty. You guilty. Ain't nobody on the planet of earth is innocent of slaying the Lamb of God, because what slayed him was our sins. And since we were so low down and dirty and rotten, and we were cut off from God, from the Garden of Eden all the way up to now, but God said, I got a plan. I got a plan for Satan. I got a plan for the world. I got a plan for humanity. I got a plan for the postman. I got a plan for the preacher. I got a plan for the deacon and the sisters of the church. I got a plan for the youth of our generation. And that plan is that I came to do one thing. If I don't do nothing else, Christ said, I got to die. I got to die for the sins of the world. I got to lay down my life. I got to become a sin offering. In other words, I have to take your sins, I got to take the sins of every human being on the planet. People don't understand that. Jesus Christ was the only man on the planet that came from heaven. And the only person that was in heaven is God Almighty. And God made a plan to come down here on this earth in a body. He became a man, but yet still he was God Almighty. I want that to soak in a little bit, because people seem like they just can't get it. They can't get it because the devil can't get it. The devil said, oh, I done messed up. I was all right until I put it in humanity, that hatred for the Son of God. And Satan said, if I can kill him, I believe I got the victory. But see, by Lucifer infusing in man the hatred to kill Christ, that was a blessing that he infused that into the human race. Because when he killed Christ, Christ said, I got power enough to lay down my life, and I got power to pick it up again. I received this of my Father. And Christ said, somebody got to bear the sins of many. Somebody got to die for humanity. And since God, all by himself, self-existence, a little puny man cannot comprehend the existence of God. So don't no human race, no human race or human being can try to figure out where did God came from. Because I already figured it out. God came from nowhere. And you say, well, preacher, how did he come from nowhere? Well, you see, God is everywhere. He was before the world began. He was before anything was even created. And since he was everywhere and all powerful, there was nowhere for him to come from because he's everywhere. Oh, my God. Can you get a hold of that? Can you get a grip of that? So man is fragile in trying to understand God. But one thing you can understand about God is one thing you can understand in this simple. The Bible tells me that God is love. God is love. God is love. John 3:16. A lot of people trying to skip over that verse, trying to skip over that chapter, trying to skip over that verse where John wrote down what Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the only son that God had. And the only thing that God had was himself. There was nobody before him, and there was nobody after him. It was one God. And this one God created and made the heavens and the earth. And I wasn't even here, and you wasn't even here. So don't try to figure out where God come, and don't try to change God, because he cannot be changed. He cannot change. He is self-existent. At one time in eternity, he was all by himself. You hear what I said? At one time in history, one time in the eternity, when eternity is forever, God was, God is. He is eternity. He is the beginning and he is the end. He's the first and he's the last. He's the Alpha and he's Omega. And he made man after his likeness and put him on this earth because he wanted to get glory from mankind. There was nobody else to give him glory but the angelic beings, and the angelic beings was holy angels, and they praised him, they praised him, and they praised him. But see, they praised him because they were commanded for them to praise him. Until one big head, beautiful angel called Lucifer. Oh, come on, y'all. Read your Bible. Read your Bible, preacher. Read your Bible, sister. Lucifer, the son of the morning, a created cherubim, made, created by God because God spoke him. Now catch a hold of this. God spoke him into existence out of nothing. And you know something? God spoke to nothing. You know what nothing had to do? Nothing had to answer. And when nothing came forth, he came forth in the form of an angelic being. Lucifer, the son of the morning, the great archangel, the great cherubim that was a protector of God's throne. He was the director of the main choir of all the angelic angels in heaven, and they sang, and they sang, and they praised, and they sang, and they praised God. That was their job. They sung, and they sang, and they, God, holiness, holiness, holiness unto the Lord. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who omnipotent and reigning. They're saying that 24/7 throughout eternity. And God himself looked for the angels to praise him and to worship him. But they had to do it on his command. They had to obey, but Lucifer disobeyed. And when Lucifer disobeyed and tried, and this is scripture now, I'm not going to go through too many scriptures, I need to, but you can find this fall in the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter. You can find this fall in the book of the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. You can find the fall of Satan. And ever since he fell from heaven, he's fallen and he's fallen and he's fallen now. He's getting ready to come down here on this earth. And he will be on this earth shortly. You know what I said? He will actually be on this earth because right now he's not on the earth. He's the prince power of the air. So he's working from a higher a place right now. He's working in the first and second heaven. Now, you got to understand that because he was in third heaven around God's throne. And Lucifer was subject to God, to listen to God. And God said, Lucifer, you have to protect my throne. When I leave my throne, I want you to stand in front of my throne and protect my throne, that nobody will sit up on my throne. Because God's throne is his heaven, and earth is his footstool. The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and everything that dwells therein. Everything belonged to God. Lucifer belonged to God, and Lucifer thought by his pride and by his beauty and by his power that he had, he thought a silly thought, a deranged thought. He thought because of his beauty. You read that in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. And you read the fall in the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter. He thought that he could overthrow and do a coup in heaven and rule over God. Come on, listen to me what I'm saying. This is biblical. This is biblical. Lucifer thought he could overthrow God because he was beautiful. And that same spirit is ruling our planet today. Because some people on this planet, in fact, a lot of people, especially women, men think they're handsome. Women think they're pretty. You know, you got your shape, you got your breasts, you got your hips, you got your legs, and you walk with a strut, and you got the hair hanging on the side, and you look in the mirror. I'm talking about a woman now. I ain't talking about a he-she. Because he, she don't count. He, she is an abomination, and that is a man wants to be a woman or a woman wants to be a man. That's abomination. That's not the image of God. That's not the image of God. Homosexual is not the image of God. Lying, cheating, backbiting, whoremongering. Fornication is not the image of God. That's the image of Satan. And Satan rebelled against God and tried to get on the throne. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is a cherubim created by God. And he got the nerve, he got the audacity to get up on God's chest and get up all up in his face and tell him face to face, you got to come down, Yahweh. You know I'm good looking. I should have the exaltation. You got that same spirit on earth today. Men want to be in power of playing God. Man, I've been trying to play God for 6,000 years, and look where we at. We ain't nowhere, because no man can take the place of God. You hear what I said? No man can take the place of God. I don't care who he is, where he comes from. I don't care what degrees he got. I don't care what color he is. Man cannot take the place of God. He's been trying for 6,000 years through the influence of Lucifer, and every kingdom that Satan has brought up on this earth is going to doom. Okay, wait a minute. Let me break that down for you. Every kingdom that was ever up on this earth has been brought down by God Almighty. The kingdom of Egypt went down. The kingdom of Assyria went down. The king of the Babylonian Empire went down. The kingdom of the Median Persians went down. The kingdom of the Grecian Empire went down. The kingdom of the Roman Empire went down. And there's another kingdom coming. People don't understand it. There's a world government coming that will be influenced by Lucifer. Satan wants to rule the world. And he's ruling it now, but he ain't ruling it in his all his full power. Men are trying to dethrone God now. Men are saying that God is dead. But I like to know, since he's my Father, my heavenly Father, my everlasting Father, my Prince of Peace, how come nobody didn't notify me? Nobody notified me. Nobody told Mr. Bazaar, your father died. What? And then I got to ask him, where did they bury him? Good God Almighty. They can't even find the grave. Now, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. You're saying that he did die. But he didn't die. Like a lot of people say, die. Because you can't kill God. You can't rob God. You can't poison God. You can't do nothing with God because he's God. But what God done, nobody else could do. He became man. He knew that if he become man, he could have a blood system. Because in order for God to become man, he had to have a blood system. He had to have veins and arteries. He had to have a heart and lungs. He had to have everything that a man has, because he wasn't no he-she. God was not funny. God was no homosexual. God was no liar. God was no cheat. God was God all by himself. And Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And when he was born a baby, he was born with all the manhood of a man. He had veins and capillaries. And he was human. He was human. He cried. He got disappointed. He knew all things. He could be anywhere, anytime. He knew men's heart, but he still was man. He was God in man. And since God became man, he had to have a blood system, because that blood system had to be in Christ. Because if Jesus Christ didn't have a blood system, he never could have died, because the Bible tells me the soul is in the blood. Your soul is in the blood. In the animals, the soul is in the blood. In Jesus Christ, the soul is in the blood. And he what? He shed his blood. What kind of blood did he have? Holy blood. Precious blood. Righteous blood, sanctified blood, justified blood, everlasting blood, save you forever, pay the price for sin, death, hell, and the grave. He took my punishment. He took your punishment. He took everything that the devil laid on the human race. And God reconciled the world back to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, it says 9 and 26, I think, he said, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. Without Jesus Christ shedding his blood on Calvary's cross, every soul on this planet would die and go to hell, because there was nobody able to pay for the penalty of sin. And since Jesus Christ was the only one to pay the penalty of sin, because he was God Almighty in the flesh, he paid the price. He took all your backbiting, sickeroo self. He took all your lust. He took all your unbelief. He took everything. And it was laid on him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, it was. It was laid on him. And when the sins of the world, from the sin of Adam all the way over to 2020 in April 2020, all the sins of the world were laid on him. The past sins, the present sins, and the future sins were laid on him. There was nobody else to lay it on, because nobody else could take their own sin. If a man was taking the experiment, come on now, listen to me. If a man, a normal man, a human being, would take the tracks and take the footprints of Jesus, going to the Garden of Gethsemane, going to the upper room, going through the pain, going through the agony, he wouldn't get nowhere. He wouldn't be able to take it. He would cower out. He would run and tell somebody else got to take this punishment. Somebody else got to take this death. Somebody else got to take this rejection. Somebody else. Who can you name that could take it other than Jesus Christ? Come on now, listen to what I got to say. Go on in heaven. Go around the throne and see if you can find a cherubim, a seraphim, or teraphim. And ask them, would you be able to go down and redeem mankind? And the angels would say, no, we ain't got that kind of power. We can't get no blood system. We don't have the power to get a blood system. Could you ask one of the lower class angels? holy angels, they would prune the weeds and back off. And you say, well, we can't find no angels. We can't find no cherubim. We can't find nobody in heaven. We can't find nobody under heaven. We can't find nobody around heaven. We can't find nobody on the top of heaven. No, no, no. Well, if we can't find nobody there, where can we go? Somebody said, why don't you try? Yeah, the human race. How don't you try somebody that could do it? What Jesus done. Good God Almighty. Somebody got to do what Jesus done. And the first one I would find and ask Adam. Adam said, I can't do it. No, no, no. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I rebelled against God. I disobeyed God. So my blood system is tainted with sin and degradation. My blood system, is no good to redeem anybody. Yeah. And then I would ask, how about Abel? Abel was a sinner because he had to offer not his own blood, but he offered the blood of animals on the altar. And by his offering his own, offering the animals, the blood of animals on the altar, God looked at the animal that he slayed, which was a ewe lamb, and that ewe lamb blood was spotless in the sight of God. And then it was a typified of a lamb that would come about 4,000 years later. Oh, listen to what I got to say. Listen here. Oh, nobody, they said, well, Abel can't do it. Well, how about Enoch? Enoch walked by faith. But Enoch was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But by his faith, God was well pleased with him, and he took him from this planet Earth. Then somebody said, Enoch can't go. How about Lamech? No, he can't go. How about Methuselah? He can't go. How about Noah? He can't go. Wait a minute. Noah was a righteous man. Yes, he was. And they tell me Noah was all right, but he wasn't all right in God's eyesight. He still was born in sin and shaped in iniquity because his blood system was polluted. But to tell me by Abraham, by Noah's faith, it was imputed to him for righteousness. But after the flood, Noah got drunk. Ain't that something? Noah became a mid-alcoholic. He got so drunk that he was naked inside of his tent. So he sinned against God. And if any human being, any human being but born without sin, it's impossible. You hear what I said? It's impossible for man to be born without sin because when Adam disobeyed God, the whole human race, the black race, the white race, the Russians, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Jews, they all became as filthy rags. They were sinners born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and nobody was able. If you want to run it on down, how about Abraham? No, Abraham can't go. He lied. How about Jacob? Jacob was a deceiver. How about Isaac? Isaac was a sinner. They tell me every man that was born in sin. And then you got down to the time when the genealogy of Jesus Christ came down to the scene. They tell me everyone that was born in sin. Good God Almighty, hallelujah, hallelujah. So you can't find nobody. You can't find nobody. You can't find nobody. Why can't you can't find nobody? Because when Adam and Eve sinned, the sin tree of sin was in his blood. Do you hear what I said? His blood became sinful. Ooh! So the racial thing that's going on in the world today where people are prejudiced and they can't hate that. They don't like the color of the skins and you're in a different race. But let me tell you something. Race ain't got nothing to do with salvation. Salvation comes by faith. And the only way the world can be straightened out, they got to have a change of heart. And so Adam brought sin into the world. And every baby that ever was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. There's no baby on this planet that was born righteous. Nobody, nobody. You hear what I said? Nobody. How can I get it through your heart to let you know nobody's blood was pure, born? Were you in a royal family? whatever family you in. There's no such thing in the royal family, because the blood of man is sinful. And by it being sinful, it cannot suffer for himself. So no human body in the human race can suffer from themselves and be raised from the dead, raised from the grave of themselves and go on living. It can't be done. Can't be done, brother. And so what happened? How in the world? How in this world that there's no man that's able to bring his own salvation? Or no man can bring another man to his sacrifice, because no man can be sacrificed on the cross and save souls. But I'm going to put that but in there, and I'm going to bring that but right on down there and show you in the scriptures how man can be delivered from sin, death, hell, and the grave. No man can be saved without a blood system, because the blood, salvation is in the blood, because life is in the blood. If you get cut, your jugular vein, within minutes you'll be dead. You got to die when you don't have a blood system. When man is on the battlefield in the wars, in World War One and World War Two, and men have gotten wounded, and they was going to bleed to death. So what they did, they called for the paramedic. They called for the doctor. They called for a transfusion. They brought blood plasma out on the battlefield. Men dying, the loss of blood. And they said, we don't get some blood. The man's going to die because he ain't got enough blood in his body for the heart to pump. And if he ain't got enough blood in there for it to pump, the heart will collapse. So they brought the blood plasma out on the battlefield, and they saved a lot of lives by the blood transfusion. And that man in the battlefield is walking, some of them is walking on the earth today because of a blood transfusion. Physically, the blood couldn't save them, but it saved their physical life, because they're going to take another blood, a more powerful blood, to save man's soul. And the only one that's able to save man's soul is the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, preach us. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or even get around the kingdom of God. And the only way that you can be saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, here we go again, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so Jesus Christ, it took him 42 generations to get down here. Oh, Lord have mercy. And since he got down here, he came wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a manger. And God said, I got to have a woman. Lord have mercy. I got to have a virgin woman. I got to have a woman that never touched a man. I got to have a woman that's righteous. I got to have a woman, Lord, have mercy, so that I, can pick up a human body. Yeah, and you know what I'm talking about and what God did. And since God himself, since he was a spirit, God couldn't come down here and die on the cross in the spirit form. He could not, nobody could nail him to the cross. Why? Because a nail can't pierce his soul. A nail can't hold him on the cross. No, it took a greater love, and that greater love is that he so loved the world that he became man. How did he become man? Since the human race was so sinful and so backwards and so rebellious, no man was able to save the humanity. No man, no demon in hell can save. No devil in hell can save, because he's not in the saving business. He's out the destruction business. He can kill, he can rob, and he can steal. And that's what he's been doing for 6,000 years, killing, murdering, and robbing, and raping. And the world is in the shape it is now. He's seeing what he's doing. He's killing anybody that gets in his way. He's raping, he's murdering. Lord have mercy. Child pornography, abortion, Yeah, he's doing the thing that he not created to do, but that's the only thing he can do because he's angry at God Almighty. He's upset with God Almighty because he didn't get his position. And since he didn't get his position, he's trying to destroy the human race. But one thing, God will never destroy nobody. The only way that you can get destroyed is you reject the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The only way you can go to hell is you go to hell without receiving Christ in your life. If you want to go to hell, why hobo your way when you can go free? Why go to hell through the church? Why go through the hell with a false salvation that you claim to have and don't have? How can you go to hell? The one thing that you can go to hell is reject the cross. Reject the cross. Reject the blood. Now, I got a problem. Some people got a problem with this. Human race is sinful. If the human race is contaminated with sin, that means everybody that's born from Adam is sinful. Mary was a virgin. And since Mary was a virgin, there's something unique about Mary's seed that's different from the seed of the man. Now, you got to understand this now. How did Jesus get here without sin? How was he born a baby without sin? No sin on him, no sin in him. He was a sinless child born. How did he get here? Well, here we go. Man is the head of creation. Man is the head of the woman. Man is the decision maker. Man is the priest of the family. Man is the head of the family. Sin didn't enter the world until Adam, hear me now, until Adam ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil from the hands of Eve. Eve disobeyed by being deceived. You hear what I said? She was tricked. She was bamboozled by Lucifer, by Satan, by the devil. She was tricked just like, man, people being tricked today, every day, by the devil. Because, number one, woman is the weaker vessel. Now, a lot of people say, well, is that what the Bible said? Yes. The woman is the weaker vessel. Women are weak. Oh, no, we ain't. We ain't weak. We're strong. Okay. But the Bible said the woman is the weaker vessel. The man is the stronger vessel because he's the head. And so what happened when Eve ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. When Eve ate the fruit, they wasn't cut off from God. They still was in innocence. But when Eve, by being weak, was deceived by Lucifer, she opened the gate, and the devil opened the gate for Eve to get next to Adam. And when Eve ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, Adam knew, wait a minute, now listen to me, Adam knew that if he eats it, creation, the human race, will be cut off from God, become sinful. Adam knew that. Because he was ahead. And Eve sweet-talked him. Come on now. Women today, if a man don't watch himself, amen, he can get in a lot of trouble if he's weak. A woman knows how, some women do, some women know how to seduce a man at a wink of an eye. The weakest part of man is a woman. Money and position, which is part of a man. If you don't believe me, ask David. If you don't believe me, ask Samson. If you don't believe me, ask the men in the Old Testament what a woman can do if you let a woman do it. Look at Jezebel, seduced 850 prophets and called them to preach under the influence of Baal. 850. She seduced him, not necessarily going to bed with him, but being their favorite ones. She seduced 850 prophets until Elijah had to kill at least 400 of them. And Jezebel got angry, and here goes Elijah running from Jezebel, running from a woman. Look at Ahab. Ahab let Jezebel take Naboth's vineyard and call up professional liars to lie against Naboth and got the vineyard. And when Elijah came to him and said, hey, Ahab, you done something. He said, why are you coming to trouble with Israel? He said, look, you don't kill Naboth and you don't took his vineyard. I'm not the trouble of Israel. You are. And it was Jezebel that seduced Ahab to go to her plan. Jezebel ended up in the middle of Jerusalem with horse and chariot, ran over, and the Lord God caused a dog pound to come out and eat everything, and the only thing was left of Jezebel was her head, her hand, and her feet. And that was the most devastating judgment upon a woman in the whole Bible. In the whole Bible, nothing, no other judgment was so horrific than when Jezebel was destroyed. And God is telling the false church today, you got the same spirit of Jezebel. And the church in the book of Revelation, the 17th chapter, gives you a picture of what will happen to the woman on the scarlet beast. That is a false church. That is the church of whoremongers. That is the church of false doctrine. That is the church of blasphemy. That is the church that the women and the people that's in this church is a whoring after the gods of the world. And they believe that money is their god and sex is their god and position is their god. And all the homosexuals, amen, they are trusting in the flesh and the pride of life. That is that whorish woman in the book of Revelation. Read your Bible. It's in there. It's in there. And she got a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and the filth of the earth. And the false church today is full of filthiness. You hear what I said? The last church is in the Bible, amen, just before the rapture. It's called the Church of Laodicea. And the Church of Laodicea was a humanist, whorish church, yet still there was somebody and there was a few people in there was saved, because Jesus Christ said, those that's in there, I'm going to chastise them and let them know you got to come out from among them and be ye separated. And then you got Jesus standing on the outside of the church, outside of your heart, outside of your desire to know him, and he's knocking on souls today. He's knocking at these false people in the church today, knocking on the heart saying, let me come in and sup with you and you with me. And the church today is telling Jesus, we don't need you now, for we are richer. We got plenty of good preachers that's preaching what we want to preach. And we got a whole lot of prosperity preachers that's preaching us into the kingdom by materialistic good gain. But my Bible tells me, and Jesus comes along and said, what profit a man that gain the whole world and lose his soul? And church folks today that confess that they know Jesus Christ, but they don't really know him. Because let me tell you, if you know Jesus Christ in the fullness of his power and his resurrection, let me tell you one thing about it. You're going to love the Lord with all your mind and all your soul and all your strength and love your neighbor as thyself. And you're not going to turn to the left nor to the right. You're going to stand for righteousness. You're going to stand for the cross. You're going to stand for the blood-washed one. You're going to stand for the suffering of Jesus Christ. Because what happened, let me tell you and explain this, what happened when God Almighty was conceived into Mary's womb. I'm going to stop right there and explain this to you. The woman seed, the ovary of a woman, the womb of a woman, Every month she have menstruation period. And the egg of the woman, oh my God, listen to me now. The egg of the woman is sinless. You hear what I said? The eggs of the woman is sinless. And by the egg of the woman, since it is sinless, orders for Jesus Christ to come born sinless. If a normal man would have had a baby, if a normal man could give Mary a baby other than Jesus Christ, the baby would be born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But God, by the Holy Ghost, listen to me, he impregnated himself. I'll say it again. Because since Adam was a sin carrier, because man carries the sin trait, the woman does not carry the sin trait. There's no sin in the ovary of the woman. But the man carries the sin trait. So every man that's born of another man through a woman is born in sin. Well, here comes God Almighty, the one that sits on the throne, the one that made the heaven and earth, the one that said, I am that I am, the one that said, I'm the beginning and the end. He impregnated himself through the Holy Spirit and formed himself into Mary's womb and took up on him the nature of a human being, amen, through Mary, and brought forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin, and he was born sinless. He had a sinless blood sister. Mary had the sinless egg. And so when he was born, he was born without sin. Y'all hear what I said? And you say, well, the devil said, I don't believe that. There's some sin in there somewhere, but he's a liar. You know that. Because if Jesus Christ, whoo, was born in sin, he never could have resurrect himself from the dead. You hear what I say? But I got a witness. 2,000 years ago, this is what Easter's all about. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born. 2,000 years ago, he died and suffered on Calvary's cross. 2,000 years ago, he stayed in the grave 3 days and three nights. 2,000 years ago, on the third day morning, he got up. Oh, yes, he got up. He got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And he said, now I paid the price for sin. I paid the price for the hormone. I paid the price for the adultery. I paid the price for the drug addict. I paid the price for the church member. Oh, yeah, I paid the price for the line preacher. I paid the price for the institution of homosexuality. I paid the price for lesbianism. I paid for every low-down, rotten, stinking sin that the devil could bring forth to destroy the human race. And I took my blood through the womb of Mary and was born in Bethlehem of Judea, stayed up on this earth for 33 years and told the disciples, I am he, the one that you're looking for. I am the beginning and I am. He said, now, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, some say that you Jeremiah, and some said you're John the Baptist, and some said you're Elijah. And God said, now, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter looked at Jesus, good God Almighty, straight to the eyeball, and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed that to you. And he said, up on the rock, I'm going to build my church. I'm not going to build it out of rocks and stone. I'm not going to build it out of gold and silver. I'm not going to build it out of Cadillac car. I'm not going to build it out of my bank account. I'm not going to build it out of my trade. I'm going to build it. I'm going to build it from my blood that I shed on Calvary's cross. I'm going to build it. It's going to take me 2,000 years for me to build it, but I'm going to build it out of sinners and liars and cheapskates. I'm going to build it out of old drunkards and drug addicts. I'm going to build it out of hoodlums. I'm going to build it out of jailbirds. I'm going to take a man that's in jail, that's been in jail for years. I'm going to change his life by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. What do the blood of Jesus Christ do? It changes your life. Yeah. It changes you from death into life. Yeah. It changes you that you can say, Abba, Father. It'll change you until you can say, I love the Lord with all my heart. He'll change you to love the white man. He'll change you to love the black man. He'll change you that you can come together in the unity of the faith. He changed you because he said, I'm going to build me a holy church. A holy church. You know what that means? That means separated from sin. Separated from sin. When Christ saves you, he separates you from sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? He separates you from sin. He cleans your heart pure. Did anything that can be pure by the blood of Jesus Christ. All through the Bible mentioned blood. More than a lot of other things it mentions. It mentions the blood of man. It mentions the blood of animals. And it mentions the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the bloodiest book. Good God Almighty. It's the bloodiest book on the face of the earth. Because nothing was done without shedding the blood. Somebody got to shed the blood. The blood that has power to save a wretch like me. So what I am saying, that's how Jesus Christ got here. He got here through Mary's womb. Because the womb and the egg that the woman has is sinless. I'll say it again. The egg of a woman is sinless. No sin forever is in that egg. But when that man have a baby, give a woman a baby through his sperm, that sperm carries the sin trait. Sperm carries the blood system. That sperm carries whether it's going to be female or male. And when God spurned Mary, the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And let me tell you, she felt, the power of God because God told him, you're going to bring forth a child. And Mary got afraid. She said, oh, my God, how can I be pregnant? How can I conceive? And I don't even know a man because she was a virgin. She wasn't an old girl. She was an old woman. She's about 18 to 19 years old. And Christ, God Almighty, through his omnipotent power and his omnipotent plan to bring eternal salvation to the human race, to save him from a devil's hell, because sin will never enter the kingdom of God forever. It won't enter in. The soul cannot go to heaven. You hear what I say? The soul cannot go to heaven unless it's sinless. The only way that it can be sinless is you have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb through the Holy Spirit. Because when Christ opened that fountain on Calvary's cross, the blood flows from his veins. If the sinner falls beneath the flow, he'll lose all his guilty stain. That's his soul now. His soul lose all the guilty stain. No more can your soul sin. Your soul is sinless. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ paid, took it out, destroyed sin in your heart. Destroyed it in your soul, and he filled you with the Holy Ghost of love. And the Holy Ghost is love, because the Bible says if a man say he love God and hate his brother, he's a stone-faced, two-faced liar. How can you tell somebody you love God and you hate me? You can't do it. And the Bible says all liars, all murderers, all idolaters, all unbelieving, all adulterers and all fornicators and all gamblers and all the wicked lost without Christ will be cast, come on now, into hell. That's the Bible. It's not Brother Bazaar. It ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If the Bible said, I'm going to take it. If the Bible said, don't say it, I don't want it. I want what the Bible says. And the Bible says, no man can get to God or see God or have fellowship with God until it's been washed in the blood. And in the book of Revelation, it tells you those that will be in heaven are those that have the white robes on and palms in their hand, and their robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, that don't mean a literal robe. That means a robe, your spirit, your soul, is a robe of righteousness. The physical man will never enter the kingdom of God. The carnal nature will never enter the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible says we must have a change. A change of what? Change of the body. This body that we're living in right now on this earth will never go to heaven. It has to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Huh? That twinkling of an eye means 1/30th of a million of a second. You're gone. When the rapture of the church occurs, it's going to be so quick, so fast, that people don't know. They don't know what happened. They ain't think, they don't know what happened, but they're about 2 weeks after it happened. They're going to find out that the church, not the Baptist church, not the Presbyterian church, not the Roman Catholic church, not the Presbyterian church, no church, just the name of it, will never enter. It's the church that Jesus Christ washed his blood and made their souls white as snow, clear. Clear as crystal clear. But until we can go to heaven, the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's the church, the body of Christ, not the name of the church, which I don't have nothing to do with the name of the church, but that name ain't going to get you to heaven. That preacher, that Christian, till you shake his hand, that don't mean you going to heaven. You got to go to heaven, whoo, with only one man in your life. You might be married, you might be single, but you're going to have one man in your life that can redeem you. And you know who that man is. That man is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can redeem you. No occult religion can get into heaven. No occult religion cannot get into heaven. None. None. No voodoo, witchcraft, Illuminati, secret societies, masonry, none of those so-called religious things, societies is religious. They're demonic, full of the raw-headed, slew-foot devil, because the devil is always down through eternity and trying to imitate God. He's a lying wonder. He can only imitate, but he can't do nothing. He can't do nothing above what God can do. And the only thing that the devil can do, and you know what I'm going to say, he can destroy your soul. He can damn your soul. He can cause you to commit suicide. He can cause you to get in all kinds of trouble. Easy, but he can't get you out. When anybody ever get in trouble, serious trouble, they don't call on the devil. They don't call on no devil, say, oh, devil, oh, devil, Lord, please get me out of this. The devil can't get you out, don't want to get you out. The only one can get you out is the righteous one, Jesus Christ. Can you get that understanding? This is Elder Bazaar coming to you from the Word of God, watching it on the wall. If I don't know nothing else, I do know this. Save Jesus and him crucified, died and rose again on this Easter that's coming up. I don't really like to say Easter. I like to say resurrection morning. Because of bunny and eggs and all this stuff that they're going to add into that, it's just pagan. And God is not a pagan God. He's a real God. He's a God of gods and the Lord of lords. And Isaiah said, beside him there is no else. In 96, a child shall be born and a son shall be given. You shall call his name Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Almighty God. And that's the God I'm talking about. That's the God that rules the heaven and earth. That's the God that can name every star and give you the number, a number that your brains couldn't even conceive. He's the one that looks down upon pitiful man today and give him all kind of mercy, all kind of goodness, all kind of blessing. And man is turning his nose up at it. But let me tell you one day, time is short and the day is for us men. It's time for the church to wake up. They need to go into a fast. They need to go into the house of God and fall down on our knees. I'm not exempting myself. I go for me too. Fall down on my knees. Lord, have mercy on us. Save as many that call on your name. Save our youth. Save our marriages. Save our government. Save our... Look, economical, but I'm not concerned about economical. Economical on your soul. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to be filled with God's Spirit. And I'm not talking about the spirit that folks carry around when they feel like they treat you right and when they don't feel like they act up. I'm talking about this eternal spirit that can dwell in you forever. And I'm a child of God forever. I ain't into this just stuff. Half saved, a little bit saved, saved today, lost tomorrow. Oh, I've lost my salvation. How in the world can you defame God's power? If you know you saved, claim it. And then after you claim it, make sure you write before you name it. A lot of people naming it, but they ain't claiming it. Well, what you mean claiming? I claim the love of God. Claim the love of God through faith. If it's saying on the face of the earth right now, she'll be wanting to love God more and more each and every day. I know I do. I ain't got enough yet. I might have some cobwebs in my life. Lord, take them out. Move them. Get them out the way. Because when you come, you're going to come in the twinkling of an eye. So I hope you can understand that birth that Christ came without sin. And understand that the human race is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But the only way sin could enter into the world is through Adam. That's how Adam caused the fall of the human race. And by him deliberately eating it, because Eve said eat it, because Adam, listen to me, Adam was not deceived. The woman was deceived because a woman, amen, is the weaker vessel. And women today can be deceived. Man can be deceived too. But women are easier and quickly deceived than a man. And a man's weakest life is a woman. Men have died, committed suicide over women. Women have committed suicide over men. Weak. No God in their life. And if you ain't got no God in your life, you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you are subject to die at any time. You're subject to get killed any time. But if you in Christ, you don't worry about dying. Why? Because you know him in the pardon of your sin, and you know that he wants you to do something for him, and that is serve him, worship him, honor him, desire him, love him. Just go crazy about him, because in him we move and have our peace. We're living in the last days. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back to this earth. And when he come back, he's coming back in power. You talking about power. And great glory. He's coming back before the tribulation period comes to rapture the church. He's going to come in the midair. He's going to come down from the third heaven into the second heavenlies. And he's going to call those in the grave. He's going to cause them to get up. Those that died in Christ Jesus, died with salvation, died sanctified, died justified, died in Christ. They're going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and they're going to bust the graves over. Oh, yes, sir. This going to be a sad, you talking about a shock of Zulu. You talking about a shock to the world, and folks are laughing now. A lot of people don't believe they talk about that stuff so long, it get on my nerves. I'm going to try to enjoy life. Although we got corona, I'm still going to try to live. I'm going to live till I die. Well, I guess you will live till you die, but you better die with Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something for a fact. Never been there. Heard about it. Never been there. Read about it. Never been there. Hell is hot. And hell has no respect of person. Don't care who you are. Don't care how smart you are. Don't care how debonair and how you can strut that walk and talk that talk. He has no respect of person. There's only one man that went to hell and came back on his own power, Jesus Christ. Only one man that took the hinges off the gates of hell, took the keys of death and hell from Satan. And before he left, hell, I don't know, I wasn't there, but in the spirit of my mind, I could see Jesus tell him, say, I got all power in heaven and in earth. In my hand, Lucifer, I'm going back on top side. And when I get back on top side, I'm going to start my church. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build it out of my blood. Satan, I done shed my blood. I done paid the price. What justice was looking for. Justice was looking for somebody to die, and God was that justice, and mercy came in. And mercy talked to justice. I said, mercy told justice, you did just what you could do, but I'm going to do something else. I'm going to give those that I died for mercy. And ever since the birth of the church, millions and millions and millions of people have seen receive the mercy of God. And you talking about what mercy? Mercy is when you repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again, and Jesus Christ saved your soul. That's mercy. Mercy. Jesus said, I forgive you. I'll wash you. And I'll make you my child forever. No man can pluck you out of my hand. I brought eternal salvation through my precious blood. Through the cross, I died. Through the cross, I gave up the ghost. Through the cross, I spoke to a man hanging on the cross and told him, this day you shall be with me in paradise. And Jesus dropped his head and died. And when they broke the two thieves' legs on the cross, because Jesus had already died, so they didn't break his leg. They broke the two thieves on the cross. And when they died, that one thief followed him on down into paradise in the bowels of the earth. Woo! Woo! He followed him down, and when he got down there, he said, now, paradise is here. I believe he gave him a little Sunday school lesson. He said, paradise is here now. but I'm going to remove the paradise that's in the bowels of the earth, and I'm going to remove it from down here and move it in the presence of God. And the reason that paradise was in the heart of the earth before Christ got up from the grave is because man, from Genesis all the way up to 33 A.D., had sinned. And the only sin that was covering their sins, the only thing that was covering their sin was the blood of sacrifices of animals. In the Old Testament, God permitted Israel to use animal blood to be a covering for the sins of mankind until the ultimate sacrifice comes. The ultimate sacrifice was Jesus Christ. And he didn't cover sin. He took sin out of your heart, out of your mind, out of your being. He took it out and destroyed it. I don't know the spirit of my mind. I believe all the sins that mankind did through Lucifer, if a person gets saved, he gives all that sin back to Satan. So it's going to be hot in hell for the devil. Because the devil calls men to sin. And that God said, I'm going to put something on you that the blast furnace have to get up and walk away. It's going to be hot in hell for the Lucifer. And those that follow Lucifer, it's going to be hot for them. And guess what? Lord, have mercy. Woo! Some people think they're good by moral living. Some people think they're so good that really that God shouldn't put me in hell because I don't do bad things. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't lie. I don't run around with women. I don't do a whole lot of things. Don't gamble. I don't talk about people. I try to treat everybody right. I do all of that. I go to church. I do all that. Now, I think I got a right to go to heaven. I think I do pretty good. No? Well, your own righteousness, your own so-called right thinking is like filthy rags. I don't care. The Bible says it don't care how righteous you are or how pretty you are or how handsome you are. I don't care if you wash with soap every day and change your clothes every day 365 times a year. I don't care about that. I don't care what you drink, what laxative to clean your inside out. I don't care how clean you think you can get. You never, never will acquire salvation through more good living. You got to have your soul saved. And the only thing can save your soul is nothing but the blood. The blood of God Almighty. God's blood. And God's blood is holy blood. Nothing the foul can ever come in contact or stand in the presence of God. And if your heart is not right, it will never stand in the presence of God justified. The only thing can justify you is the blood of Jesus Christ. Please understand what I'm saying. And I'm not beating up on nobody. I'm not downing nobody. I'm not condemning nobody. The Bible says you're not condemned because you got a moral problem. You're not condemned because that. You're condemned because you will not believe on the only begotten Son of God. You deny him. You reject him. You ignore him. You play games with him. You play a ring around the roses, and you play all them old funny games. And you're going to slide into heaven. Well, there ain't no sliding in. Either you walk in the presence of God pure and sanctified, or you're going to be cast into the lake of fire where burn brimstone forever. and ever and ever. My friend, there is an eternal judgment. And we see God is walking over the face of the earth everywhere, in every nation. And he said, I didn't come to send peace on earth. No, I've come to send barriers. Mama against the daddy against the son against the in-laws against the outlaw. Families are divided. Families are killing and shooting each other. Families are hating each other. Families are saying people today don't believe in the family home no more. No! Divided. You don't know who's who. Men having babies and all over the land and don't know the babies grow up without a father. Why? Because he's still out there making babies. Oh, no. God said, I'm getting tired of this. I don't give you laws. I don't give you my son. I don't come back from the grave. Good God Almighty, what do you want? What do you want? I give you the sense to know right from wrong. I give you time enough to live on earth. What is it, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, or 20? I give you that period of time to live, and you never, never, never accepted me. You never repented of your sin, except you repent. You're going to likewise perish. My friends, we're living in the last days. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last hours, the last month, might be the last week, might be the last year. I don't know, but we're so close that people got stigmatism. They're looking at it right dead through the tongue. They're looking at it. They see it. They see the wars. They see the killings. They see the murders. They see the race riots. We see police brutality. We see homosexuality. We see lesbianism. We see sodomites. We see people having sex with animals. We see incest in the family. We see shooting and killing. We see drug addicts, child porno, child trafficking. The government's corrupt. The church is trying to, what you say? The church is not corrupt because the difference between true Christianity and fake Christianity. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from sin. That's it. Ain't nothing else can cleanse. So if you ain't in Christ, if you haven't accepted Christ, you're filthy. You're low down. You're dirty. And the only thing that can clean you up is Jesus. And if he can clean you up, you got a problem. You don't want to be cleaned up. But we're living in the last church age. The church is never going to get back what it used to be. And what it used to be, it shouldn't have been that way because now it's later than an hour. The church is always should be reaching souls, preaching the gospel, in season, out of season, preaching holiness, righteousness. But the church has failed, including me. Lord, help me that I can be better than what I am. I want to make this announcement. I want to usher you in here. I want to let them know you're coming back, brother. Brother Jesus, you're coming back. I know you're coming back. I want to tell somebody, y'all better get ready. I ain't playing. You can rock and roll, sing your song, dance your party, drink your drink, take your drugs, play church stuff, play with the church. Panky, panky, Yankee, panky, whatever you're doing. And if it ain't done in the spirit, it's not of God. God don't have the spirit of confusion. And when you see confusion and malice and hatred, God is not there. He's out. Count him out. When you see hatred and bigotry and what you call it? Oh man, you can call it all the opposite of what God is. Fake testimonies, fake speaking in tongues, fake dress. And I believe that you ought to come to the house of God looking like you a God child. I don't think you should be coming to church trying to impress somebody. I know you ain't got no business coming to church trying to impress somebody. You're supposed to be coming to the house of God and worship him and say, Lord, if I've sinned, if I'm not right, get me right. Let the preacher say something that I need to hear and not this little rubber stuff. Not this spaghetti type gospel. And the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. You and people ain't seeking the righteousness of God anymore. They're seeking gold bracelets and earrings and jewelry and tattoos and, oh, my God, I tell you, it embarrasses me. It embarrasses me to see a saint of God looking like the world. It embarrasses me for the man to be looking like the world, talking like the world. What you ought to be talking is talking the blessed hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and tell somebody, man, y'all better get ready. Sister, you better get ready. Jesus is coming. Preacher, you better get ready. Because this ain't no thing to be playing with. And I tell you right now, God is not jumping up and down in heaven. Tell the church folks, go for it. Go get all you can get. Get the money. Get that. God is not doing it. In fact, I know he's getting kind of tired. And it's coming to a point where people are dying like flies. Young and old. Infants are dying. Hospitals are full of sick people. Jailhouse full of sick people. Sick and believing that they could do what they want to do and not pay the penalty. You're going to pay some way or the other. Why don't you just stop it and get your heart right with God? Because it ain't going to prosper you nothing. God has proven it in the past. He's proven it now. And he's proven it in the future. Because everything that the Bible says is going to happen is happening right now. The mark of the beast is on its way. The coronavirus is a gateway. The coronavirus is a gateway for the mark of the beast to be manifested. That's what it is. The Bible already told us there would be diseases and pestilence coming up on the earth, and this is one of them. Because it's a setup. And man set it up himself because he rejects the love and the mercy of God Almighty and think he can do this on his own. They want people to become vaccinated by mandatory. The mark of the beast is creeping in day by day, month by month, year by year. The prostitution business is getting ready to get back on the hump again. Men are trying to make more money now. People are trying to travel around the world because they've been locked up a little bit. The reason why they locked up, first on what you're going to do. First on what you're going to do. Are you going to serve Baal or are you going to serve God? It seems like we got our answer already. We're going to serve Baal. We still going to play football. We still going to play basketball. We still going to gamble. We still is going to go to church. We still, oh, yeah, you're going to do all those things. But one thing that you forgot to do, repent. Because if you haven't repented of your sin and accept Jesus Christ, you will definitely be left here after the rapture. The rapture is right on the verge of happening on this planet. The rapture is going to be a worldwide event from the four corners of the earth. You hear what I said? The four corners of the earth. God is going to rapture every blood-washed one. Every blood-washed one. And he knows exactly. You hear what I said? I said God knows exactly those that belong to him. People say, I know the Lord. Okay, good. But you better make sure the Lord knows you. Because the only way you can know the Lord, where the Lord be pleased, is you accept his son and you forsaken his only begotten son, which is in the bosom of the Father. So every continent, from Russia all the way over to Western Europe, all the way down to South Africa, all the way down to South America, every continent where there's a population, somebody is going to hear a trumpet one day, and that day is soon to come when millions, millions and millions of people will be missing from every continent. And when that occurs, that will give the Antichrist a gateway to come on the scene. And when he comes on the scene, he's going to come on the scene in a form of diplomacy. He's going to speak so magnificent and so unique. He will be the greatest orator and the greatest con and the greatest antichrist that ever hit the planet. He will deceive many people because he will dilute their mind with deception. And the Bible tells me the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world has been deceived. Every human being upon this planet has been deceived in one way or the other. But its greatest deception will be when the man of sin, the son of perdition, the lawless one, the Antichrist, anti-God, anti-church, anti-blood of Jesus Christ. The Antichrist will hate the blood of Jesus Christ. The Antichrist will be against all the holiness and all the deity that God is. He will hate God. He will blaspheme God. He will speak against God, and his people that are serving the Lord God Almighty will be persecuted on the face of the earth like never before. And America will be one of the ones that suffered the most, because America was started on the basic of the foundation of the Judeo-Christian ethics that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, and he died and rose again, and he's coming back again, and he requires holiness through the blood of Jesus Christ. America was founded on that. The 66 books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, America was founded on that. From the Apostle Paul teaching all to the disciples, America was based on that. From the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, all those prophets, America got more churches, more preachers than any other nation on the face of the earth. But let me tell you, what you call America's falling in second and third rate now because the heathenish countries, the countries that's living below the privilege, those folks over there are suffering for the cause of Christ. Japanese, Chinese, Russians, the Middle East, Muslims are getting converted. Preachers are preaching over there more power than preachers are preaching here behind the pulpit talking about, send me your dollar, send me your handkerchief, send me this, send me that, and God will bless you. They ain't preaching the gospel. A bunch of garbage. God is not pleased. And America is going to pay for it. I hate to say it, but God said, whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. There are more prostituting in America and more whore houses and more cat houses and more playboys and more naked women and more naked men roaming the streets doing all kind of abominations undercover, going to church, still doing it. They don't care what they do. They'll go one night and party all night and go to church Sunday morning and have high, half drunk. concussion. I'm sick of it. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. But let me tell you tonight, time is far spent. The day is almost over. Men today are preparing for a battle. Israel is preparing to protect themselves from the Iranians and the Persians. Israel is in a dilemma now because the nations of the world want to get rid of the Jewish people. They want to try to wipe them off the face of the earth because the devil knows the Jews is God's chosen people, and without the Jew, the Gentile would never would have received the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you got to bless the Jews. You got to defend the Jews because Jesus Christ was a Jew. Came from the tribe of Judah, the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The one that was, the one is, and the one to come, the Almighty, the Everlasting Father. The Jews said, we are looking for our Messiah. And guess what? The Bible say the last thing of the last time, the last great prophecy to know that Jesus Christ is coming soon is when the Jewish people are planning to rebuild the temple. The temple is in preparations to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. As soon as they get the red heifer, they already got it. They got three of them. And when they pick it out and when the red heifer is old enough, they're going to offer for sacrifice and use the ashes and oil and water and mix it together to sanctify the temple so the temple can be built. And in the 11th chapter of Revelation, the temple is making preparations to measure the temple. John said, I saw him measure the temple, the inner court and the outer court. And in this temple, they're going to set the Ark of the Covenant because the Jews are trying to restore Judaism. And Jesus Christ told them, Judaism is the first covenant, but there's a second covenant. And this second covenant is the covenant with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord said, I'm tired of animal sacrifice. So I'm going to make one sacrifice, eternal sacrifice. Jesus Christ will be the eternal and only sacrifice to redeem man from sin, death, hell, and the grave. And the Jews are saying, no, this is not what I want. But God said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to show you Antichrist is a fake, phony, a quack. And I can't show you until the church is dismissed from its earthly chores. And that is finish preaching the gospel to the end. And there's a church just before Laodicea called Philadelphia, which is the one that's going to be raptured. All those that's in the church of Philadelphia. What is the church of Philadelphia? The church of Philadelphia is brotherly love. Those that have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those that love the Lord and call and preaching the word and living a holy and righteous life before those are the ones that's going to be redeemed. And the backslider. A lot of people say, I don't know, the backslider go to heaven. No. Well, what is a backslider? You know what one is? A backslider is a saved person that have backslid. They don't have the fellowship with Jesus Christ, but they still got the same relationship. And that is that he's the Son of God, that he died and rose again, and he's coming back to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. How can he get a church without a spot or wrinkle? And what? And you in the backsliding state. He coming not for your what? Backsliding. He's coming back because you have been redeemed by his blood. Your soul has been redeemed. Because there's many people in church backslid because of somebody else because they didn't have the strength to press on. Some people have been struggling with the flesh and the spirit. Some people's under chastisement. Backslide is under chastisement. God said, whom I chastise, that whom I loveth. Because if you're not chastised, amen, then he says, and you take communion, and your heart is not right, and you take communion, God will chastise you because you ain't got no business taking communion unless you know, amen, your heart is right with God. Otherwise, God will chastise you. And sometimes chastisement leads up to death. God had to take saints out of here because it was embarrassing to you. And one thing you don't want to do, embarrass God, calling yourself a being Christian. And a hypocrite, well, there ain't no hope for a hypocrite because a hypocrite don't know nothing about the blood of Christ. Don't know nothing about love. Just going on what they know in the head. They ain't got it in their heart. And Bernie, you got to have this in your heart. If it ain't in your heart, you ain't got a zero. So when Christ comes, he's coming for the backsliding saint, and he's coming from the saints that's on fire for him because he's married to a backslider. He was married to Israel. He was married to saints in the church that gave their life to Christ, but they backslid. So the backslider will be at the rapture, and the backsliding saint will be at the rapture, and the saints will be at the rapture. Those that worked out their own soul salvation, fear and trembling before God. Those that will be said from Jesus Christ, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But some of the saints ain't going to get that welcome. Because God is not judging you on what you do. He's judging on you by what you experience, his love and his mercy, and you didn't take advantage of it. So he's going to give you according to your works, what you've done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So the backsliding saint will be there, and the saints will be there, and the sinner and the hypocrite will be cast into outer darkness. Because a hypocrite is an unsaved person, said they say, but never have really received the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because there is power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this Sunday, the world is going to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some people are going to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he paid for your sin, got up from the grave, and now it's time for the world, the church, to wake up. Time is now. The word of God will go on. The word of God will stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word abideth forever, says the Lord God Almighty. And here we are in 2021. And the world is shaking, rocking, reeling, and rolling. And don't let nobody fool you. God is saving souls every day. Souls are being saved. You hear what I say? Souls are being saved by the power of Jesus Christ. Not on your power. Not on nobody else's power. Not on nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Those people who repented and break down with godly sorrows and ask the Lord to turn them around and want to be turned around and give their life to Christ, they shall be saved. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and the Bible says thou shalt be saved. And that's a period. It's free. For we are definitely in the last hour. Few more prophecies. And that is, as I said before, that temple's coming up. And Iran and Iraq and the Russian armies and the armies of the world is getting ready to go to battle with Israel, God's chosen people. The 70th week spoken by Daniel the prophet is getting ready to open up. The 70th week. The 70th week spoken by Daniel the prophet is a prophecy in which a lot of people can't understand because you got to read the Bible. You got to inquire to God's word. You got to inquire to God's spirit. God said that he would deal with the Jewish people. From 444 B.C. until 33 A.D., he said, I'm going to deal with you for 490 years, but you're going to be cut off at the cross because you rejected me. And he was cut off at 483 years. Jesus Christ went from the Jew and came to the Gentiles. The Jews were cut off, and since they were cut off, they come up 7 years short of making the 490 years. So God owed the Jewish people 7 years that he would deal with them. You got that? He's going to deal with them for 7 years. He cannot deal with the church and the Jew at the same time during the tribulation period. The church age had 2,000 years to preach the unadulterated word of God. 2,000 years. And they have preached as many as have been faithful to the Lord God Almighty. Those that have been unfaithful to the Lord God Almighty. But the church age is almost over. So when the church is removed from the earth, God is going to cut the Gentiles off and grab the Jew back in. And when he grabs the Jew back in, he's going to send the world during the tribulation period. 144,000 Jews are going to be able to preach the gospel for the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. You understand that now? They're going to preach 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 42 months, or times and times and dividing time. The 7th chapter of Revelation tells you that there's 12 tribes, 12,000 from each tribe. 12 times 12 is 144. 144,000 will preach 1,260 days, and the world will witness it. First time and the last time, the last 7 years, added on to the 483 years from 440 B.C. until 33 A.D., it's 483 years, and you add 7 years on to the 483 years, you get 490 years. God is going to deal with the Jew, and after the 7-year tribulation is over, it will conclude 490 years, and Jesus Christ will bust the sky wide open, that the whole world will see Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation period. The world will see. England will see. The United States will see. Argentina and Brazil will see. Africa will see. The Middle East will see. Antarctica will see. The South Pole will see. Every human being will witness this. Jesus Christ coming at the end of the tribulation period, where the sky will open up. Oh, listen to what I'm saying. The sky will literally open up from the east to the west. Revelation 19 and 11. John looked. And you know something? I looked too. And I saw what John saw. What did John see? John seen in the 19th chapter of Revelation. This is what John saw. And I've been reading this ever since I was 12 years old. I always went to Revelation. And I've been reading this, and it ain't changed. I ain't seen no letters or nothing. And John said, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat up on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Jesus Christ is coming back on a white horse. And he set up on him, and he is called Faithful, and ain't he faithful, and true, ain't he true. And the righteous, he does judge and make war. He's coming to fight the battle of Armageddon, when all the armies of the world will meet at a valley called Megiddo. General W. MacArthur in 1945. Good God Almighty. MacArthur was one of the greatest generals of all time. He stood out there on Tokyo Bay on the Missouri in 1945, August 6th. He said, now, listen to me, my friends. He said, now, if we don't find a more equitable way to settle our difference, the war will not cease. But the next big war that we will fight will be the Battle of Armageddon. Now, the man knew something about the 19th chapter, the 11th verse of Book of Revelation. And I don't know why preachers don't come out and tell it like MacArthur. And I know he wasn't a preacher. He was a great general, but he knew the word of God at the end time that Jesus Christ is coming back on a white horse, and he's coming back called faithful and true and righteous. He does make war. And his eyes, good God Almighty, was flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies, wait a minute. Brother preacher, what you talking about? The armies. What army? The armies of the war-making saints. The armies that don't have a church name. But the armies represent the church coming back with Jesus Christ. Because the church was raptured up 7 years before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when he come back, the armies which were with him follow him up on white horses. The church is coming back from heaven on white horses. They have been in heaven for 7 years. And after the end of the seven-year tribulation, we're going to mount up in heaven. And Jesus Christ is going to get on a white charger. And he's going to say to all the saints that's going to follow him from heaven to earth, he said, now we're getting ready to ride, and we're going to ride down into a war-making world where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. And he said it was clothed in fine linen, white and clean, good God Almighty. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of his fierce wrath of the Almighty. This is what God said, I'm tired. I'm going down here to straighten things out. I'm going to eliminate the government world. I'm going to eliminate their economical. I'm going to eliminate the great whore upon the scarlet beast. I'm going to eliminate the Antichrist. I'm going to eliminate the Satan and his demons and his devils and cast him into a bottomless pit. Because I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am that was, I am that is, and I am the one that's going to be. I'm the one eternally. And he said he had on his vest a dip, had on his vest and on his thigh a name written. And his name is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Revelation 19th chapter. That concludes the seven-year tribulation. That concludes 490 years that the Jews will preach the gospel during the tribulation period. And when the 144,000 get through with their ministry in the middle of the tribulation, the 12th chapter of Revelation, there's going to be a war, a galactical spiritual war between Michael and his angel, the devil, Lucifer, the Beelzebub, the wicked dragon, the red dragon, the old serpent. The devil will be cast out of heaven, out of the first and second heaven. He will be cast to the earth. Satan will take over this earth for 7 years. And his demons will come. Listen to me now. They will come in the UFOs. They will come in lightning. They will come and plant their feet. They will come and torment men who have rejected the Lord God Almighty. They will come to destroy humanity. But they came to destroy. God will not permit it because he sent 144,000. And during the 144,000 ministry, listen to me, they will preach for 21.5 years. And out of those 21.5 years, it would be such a great revival of the whole world. It will be so powerful that it will turn the world upside down, because the Jews are not going to be preaching the gospel of grace. They will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the very thing they were looking for the first coming of Jesus Christ. But they didn't come, so they rejected it. But now the Jews are going to be preaching that Jesus Christ is coming back, the one that died and suffered on Calvary's cross, to set up the millennial kingdom, which will be ruled on this earth with a rod of iron by Jesus Christ. God is going to restore everything that the devil tried to destroy. And that means that everything that Satan has done, and all his imps, and all his pimps, and all his dogmatic teachings and dogmatic things he have done, all that, and himself and his demons will be cast into the bottomless pit, and there they will be locked up for 1,000 years. And God will sit in Jerusalem in a brand new temple that will be built by Christ. And Christ will rule on this earth for 1,000 years without sin. And the only sin that the millennium reign will have to deal with, and that is a sin of unbelief. God's going to prove to humanity, prove to the universe, prove to the angels, prove to the cherubims and seraphim. He's going to prove that there's one sin that you cannot blame on the devils, and that is a sin of unbelief. Because the devil believes and he trembles at the name of Jesus. So the only sin that man will deal with is a sin of the human spirit. God is going to restore. He's going to bring life longevity back. The animal world will be trained. Jerusalem will be restored. And the sin that they have to deal with is unbelief. And God's going to prove to me, you almost can put a man in a perfect environment. Almost a perfect environment. Only sin you would deal with is a sin of unbelief. And Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And those that came through the tribulation in their natural bodies will reproduce and replenish the earth for 1,000 years. And Jesus Christ will be here. And the people that's born during the millennium reign will see Jesus, talk to Jesus, sit in there, put his hand, talk about the past, talk about where they are now, and talk about the future. They will go to the temple. They will be taught by the saints of God that will be here on earth, because we're going to rule and reign the governments upon the earth with Jesus Christ. And after the 1,000 years are over, man still rebel against God, to show you that man is exceedingly depraved, and prove to humanity sin of unbelief is the only sin that you can blame upon the human race. Unbelief. And after the millennium reign, Satan's going to be let loose for a little season. And those that's born in the millennium reign will follow after Satan. And they will gather around the city of Jerusalem to overthrow it, just like they tried to do it in the tribulation. And fire will come out of heaven and consume all those that rebelled during the millennium reign. After that judgment, all those during the millennium reign that rejected Christ will be cast in to the lake of fire. Woo! Now listen to this. After the millennium reign is over, after the devil's cast into Gehenna, and all his angels be cast into Gehenna, the lake of fire at the end of the millennium, God himself, Elohim, Yahshua, Jehovah, Prince of Peace, Messiah, the bread of heaven, God himself is going to call all the wicked dead, all the wicked dead, from Adam all the way to the end of the 1,000-year reign. And he's going to suspend them into outer space. A great host of wicked people, all kinds of wicked people, who did not believe that there was a God, did not believe the word of God, did not believe in the sacrificial death that Jesus Christ done, didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, didn't believe in the new birth, didn't believe in filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't believe in holiness, didn't believe in loving, stands at the great white throne. And the books were opened. And another book was opened. All kind of books was opened. And God himself looked in the book. And whoever names were not written in the book of life, they literally was picked up and cast into the lake of fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth forever. And the Bible says in the 21st chapter, 21st chapter of Revelation, says that in the 6th verse, now listen to this very carefully, and he says to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. I will give to him that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. But he shall be my son. Number 8 says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, which are drug addicts, the idolaters, which are worshipers of everything but God, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, not Lake Erie, not Lake Huron, not Lake Michigan, but the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That concludes this study, and this concludes the end from the 7-year tribulation to the millennium reign, from the millennium reign to the great white throne, from the great white throne to the casting in to the lake of fire forever, forever and ever, wailing and gnashing of teeth. A lot of regret will be in hell. A lot of sorrow will be in hell. There won't be no party, no jamming, no skating, no roller ring, no football, no basketball. No big mansion, no Cadillacs, no Buicks, There won't be no golf courses. Oh, my God, nothing but misery. Misery and torment forever where the worm never dieth. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. On this Resurrection Sunday coming up, you should be thanking God, bad you to see another resurrection morning. Oh, he already done resurrect, so we can't repeat it. But this is the time and season that he did come back from the grave, that you could have eternal life. There won't be no partying. There won't be no going out on the beach. There won't be no church. There won't be no prayer meeting. There won't be no Bible reading. There won't be no altar call. Nothing. Nothing. I asked the question, what is in hell that you want? If don't go, but if you do go, what do you want? You don't want torment, but what do you want now? What do you want now? You want everything now, but when you get to hell, you ain't gonna want it. You gonna want to get out. You want God to give you a second chance. You want God to raise you from the dead out of hell and say, oh, give me another chance. The only chance you got, an opportunity that you have now, is now. Not tomorrow, not Monday or Tuesday. Now is the time. This is the time to call on the name of the Lord. Corona ain't nothing. You worry about Corona. What about your soul? You got soul. You don't want it to be damned forever. Not God's fault. Your fault. God who made the way. He made a way for you eternally. You shall never perish. You shall have everlasting life. And what you got to do is come on in. Just to put this insert in here. After 144,000 get through, God's going to send two prophets. These prophets are named Moses and Elijah, going to preach for the last three half years. That's where it's going to be, hell on earth. Hell on earth. You talking about hell now? No, this ain't hell. This compared to hell, this is heaven. Well, if you miss heaven, you don't see what hell is like. Don't go. Please don't go. You need to come to Jesus. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Come on in. Come on, man. Your church name ain't going to get it. Your preachers ain't going to get it. You being nice to people ain't going to get it. You might be nice to people, but you sure is treating God like he going to waste your time. You got to put your mind on Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can forgive you of your sin and wash you and make you whiter than snow. So when the rapture comes, you won't miss the rapture. But if you miss the rapture, you have to face the devil. You're going to face the mark of the beast. You're going to face everything that the Bible says you got, earthquakes and pestilence and diseases. You're going to have to face that. You're going to have to face the plagues that's going to come on earth. You're going to have to face the demons that will come out of hell to sting men that they want to die. You're going to face starvation. You're going to face illusion from the cities. You're going to have to face everything that the devil's going to put down on you to cause you to lose your soul. Whatever you do, don't bow down to nothing. Don't bow down to nobody. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. These two prophets are going to preach for 3.5 years, 1,260 days until the world gets sick. They're going to get so mad and tell them to shut up. They're going to try to kill them, but they ain't going to be able to kill them until the fullness of time comes. And if anybody touches these two men, they are going to be killed them